tell me maybe later. Yeah. So, Hare Krishna. I want to sincerely congratulate you for your work so far and welcome you for your, I think it's now the third full day, or is it the fourth full day, or the fourth day of your retreat. Fourth day, we are midway, so to say. As we all know, today we will keep the Monavrata and we'll take this with us into the following day. And I must tell you, it is a very interesting feeling for a lecturer to talk to people who don't talk. It is, one can feel from the energy that, yes, this is clearly a silent audience, and I feel very, very happy that you follow the law of silence, which is really meant to make the mind silent. Not talking is really something which, like no other process, makes our mind calm and silent. Now, before the mind will come to this place, he might make a few spurts, enthusiastic spurts, you know. But that is to be expected. It's nothing to worry. Just don't identify when it makes rubber up, says something or expresses something. Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pachadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskaryade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The question really for those who want to go deeper into the chanting is, after some time, what should be my inner attitude, my inner mood, my inner state? As we chant more and more, we become more and more aware that chanting is not a lip gymnastics. In other words, it's not... Oh, yeah. Chanting is not a lip gymnastics. We understand. It has nothing to do with a physical activity, but it has all to do with our consciousness. In fact, we know that by chanting, we purify our consciousness. That's an experience. So, what then should be the right conscious, the right attitude in our consciousness? See, when we do a physical activity, we know we have to be rested to perform well. It is good if our bodies are nourished. And if we do some hard physical work, we do often some warm-up activities. Like those who do yoga know that if you want to do well in yoga and do it responsibly, you have to do first some warm-up exercises so that you can then go to the deeper, the greater efforts. A good yoga class has always a warm-up session, then it goes towards the peak, and then there are asanas which again cool you down a little bit. So just to do immediately some heavy physical work without preparation is not recommended. We often know when we have when we hurt ourselves physically, it's because we have not warmed ourselves up. If I would now request all of you to run like anything for 400 meters, many of you might have a bad physical condition after this, because you're physically less prepared since you sit and chant most of the time during this retreat. So if you want your physical body to do something which requires an effort, you absolutely need to prepare it. You need to warm it up. You need to rest well. You need to what else? Yes, nourish it with good and healthy foodstuffs which you eat and so on. So the same way, when you want to make a mental effort, if you want to chant well, you need to bring your subtle body in a state where it is prepared. Otherwise, if you try to just do something so, let me say, demanding as to sit for 2 hours and just chant, if your body, your subtle body, your mind is not really prepared for it, you might find him highly uncooperative at times. And you might even find that the chanting is boring. It's the most interesting thing, but because your subtle body is not prepared really, you are not, your mind is not prepared, it's not with it, you can't expect it to find interest. It's almost like if your physical body is not prepared to do certain things, the difficult asanas, the ones, it might give out in the midst of it. Or if it's not prepared, then when you make a 6-hour-long walk after 2 hours, your physical body just sends you signs of extreme discomfort. No? So when the mind is not prepared in the right way, that to chant our 16 rounds will send it into a state of discomfort, boredom, not sufficient cooperation is there, and we wonder, why is it so difficult for me to chant my 16 rounds or my 64 rounds? It's difficult because you're not prepared. I think the point is clear. I do not require more, but just to make it again crystal clear, you want your body to perform in a way like a six, an effortless 6 or 8 hours long gentle jogging exercise, and it's not prepared, my dear devotees. Your body will send you signs of discomfort. I think I often invite. I like walking. I'm a walker. I'm born when I was walking, and I hopefully die when I walk. You know, I like walking somehow, and I can walk for unlimited amounts of time. Best is I like when to walk 8 hours, 10 hours. Then I'm happy, and my body is prepared for this. But I always notice when I invite devotees or God brothers to walk with me, after 2 hours they look with an almost a helpless pleading to me. When do we stop? When do we eat? We have just eaten. No, we are feeling so hungry and so. And then I notice, my God, they are not used to long walks. So let us make brief walks interspersed with frequent sitting sessions on a bench like old people do. So the mind is in is very similar. It's a material tool. It's not spiritual, unfortunately, as of yet. It is a material engine, a material vehicle. And if you have not prepared your mind, this can't do it. This can't do it. It's just not. It gives out. And more than that, it sends you these discomforting signs. Oh, it's so boring. Can't we do something else? Something interesting, like looking to the through the telephone directory and or anything. I take a magazine, a woman's magazine. I even take the most foolish ones of the magazine. I don't know, maybe. Or I take a football, soccer medicine, you know, just to give it something, you know, something interesting and culturally valuable, you know. This is because the mind is not prepared. So, now obviously there are many roads or many tips we can say how to prepare our mind. I feel the best thing to do really to prepare the mind is to read the Bhagavatam or any suitable literature, because then you put a very nice spiritual information in your mind, and then the chanting is easy. Prabhupada used to say, he said, and I really read it many times. He said, if you don't read my books, he said, then soon there will be no more Haribol, Haribol. Haribol means chant the name of Hari. You know, this putting fresh Krishna conscious information into the mind prepares the mind like anything to walk with you the extra mile. Or in other words, to chant and be peaceful when you chant, because it will rest in Krishna, the mind, when you do that. Rest in Krishna sounds almost like what is it, the people who have, you know, the black cars, orbitory, or you know, the undertaker, you know. It's not like this. Rest the mind in Krishna, you know, is you're happy and content to be in that spiritual atmosphere, and you just don't want to leave it any longer. That's why those who chant and who have a cooperative and prepared mind don't feel any longer the need to really count like anything their rounds and this way reach a number. No, they just like to be in that atmosphere. It's just like someone who is trained to walk. He likes to walk, you know. There is no problem for him. There is no, how many kilometers, when do we stop walking? Please, when, oh when, will that auspicious day come when I finished my 16 rounds, you know. He doesn't feel like that. He feels highly comfortable because he's prepared, he's trained in this. So, let us not be a japa slump. You know, do we say, a holy name couch potato? You know, in America we have these obese people who can't get themselves to walk even 10 meters and 32 centimeters, it's too much for them. And so let us not be spiritually obese, you know, that we can't move any longer in the spiritual atmosphere and we feel bored and feel signs of discomfort. It is ridiculous for a spiritual movement when it is afraid to chant 64 rounds. It's really a sign of... You're obese. You become spiritually obese because of your laziness. Hare Krishna. This is called motivational talk. But it is the pinching talk. Indrani, am I loud enough or should I be? Come and go, yes. Oh, Indrani, Mother Indrani, you have to help me. You should just have a tomato ready, and whenever I go, you throw a tomato on me, you know, that you wouldn't do. So, okay, let me be present. So, how do we train our mind? We have to bring our mind in a spiritual atmosphere. And that is done when we when we read more, when we absolutely avoid prajalpa in our lives. You know, prajalpa sends really a bad vibration into our mind. That is always recommended. We have to also, if we want to chant, we have to do something which is called mental hygiene. You know, don't read anything and anything. Don't watch anything and everything on the TV screen. You know, when you come, sometimes I must admit I have seen a movie, but when there are scenes in the movie to sell the movie, they always have to put some indecently dressed gentleman and lady and gentleman there, and they do some physical things. You know, if you don't want to have that in your mind, then you just can close your eyes and go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And when there is someone who is not so strict, you can say, you can punch me in the side when it's over the sales pitch, you know, when the sales pitch is over. And so on. You have to practice a little mental hygiene. Otherwise, you can't expect your mind to perform happily in the spiritual atmosphere. It just won't do that for you. It has them. It's obese. It's full with material stuff, and therefore can't move very well spiritually. It's not flexible spiritually. It's like an obese person whom you ask, "Could you just make a simple forward bend?" He goes, "Ah!" He has to call the doctor. Because he is just so untrained, and so the muscles are not available to him to do this. So build up your muscle if you want to chant. Build up your mental muscle. Today we will do this. We will chant some extra rounds, and this way we do. I found out from one. A person in Philadelphia, I met him at the Ratha Yatra, and he said to me, "Maharaj, you have an impossible posture." I said, I know, I always stump forward. What should I do? Well, very simple. These muscles need to be exercised. Do some simple push-ups. So I did it. When I came here, I did, and I managed 1.5 push-up, and then I had to pass out and call for prasadam. Now I'm at 10, and I hope when I leave this retreat, I will do 1,008 push-ups. Because I'm training, so then the posture won't be so impossible, and then I will have no physical ailments in the back. This is my goal, and of course, I mean, I'm giving an example. You can train muscles by doing something with them. In the same way, you can train your mind by chanting extra rounds. It's very good for you. You will become flexible. Your mind will become now a new word, subtle. No, supple. Yes, supple. Yes, yes. You will become supple. Thank you. So, dobro. So good. But now, this is okay, we should read and we should be careful what we put in our mind so that we don't become obese in a sense, you know, and can't move any longer. So the other thing which I would like to stress today is we should chant in the right mood, the right inner attitude, the right mental state. And here is a very nice thing from Srila Prabhupada, who says very nicely what should be the mood. Those under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand that his mode of worship of the Supreme Lord Krishna in separation is the real worship of the Lord. When the feelings of separation be... Yes, good. Thank you. When the feelings of separation become very intense, one attains the stage of meeting Sri Krishna. Let us repeat this again. When the feelings of separation become very intense, one attains the stage of meeting Sri Krishna. So-called devotees like the Sahajiyas cheaply imagine they are meeting Krishna in Vrindavan. Such thinking may be a little useful, but actually meeting Krishna is possible through the attitude of separation taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now our mind, how do you meet someone in separation? I mean, if I make an appointment today with Manu, say at 11 o'clock in my room, and then Manu is not there, he's separated, he's chanting his rounds somewhere on the Elkins estate, on a bench near Mother Maria. You know, how do I meet him? Through feelings of separation. I'm here, he is there with Mother Maria. So this is what we think. But please listen very carefully. We are dealing with a spiritual person when we talk about Krishna. When we feel from separated from Krishna, he may be as far as you. He may be separated by some material distance. By the way, I hesitate to say this because we are never separated from Krishna. He's in every atom. It's only an illusion that we think. But okay, when I may feel so distant from Krishna, but I may not see him or so on, but if I feel the separation from him, he is in my heart. And because I wish you excellent health, because when Krishna is in our heart, then he is fully present in our life. See, let me give a material example. If I am separated from prasadam, you know, because the prasadam is just now coming, and it's we know it will take another hour before the chapatis are ready, you know, I actually have a problem, because I can think chapati, 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 but this doesn't help me at all to get rid of my hunger. So when I'm separated from the chapatis, then I have absolutely no contact of the chapatis, even if I think day and night of the chapatis. However, because Krishna is not like a chapati, a material substance, if I think of Krishna, then Krishna is fully present. Where? In the heart. So you can meet Krishna, the spiritual entity, through feelings of separation. This is paradoxically materially. Someone who feels separated from the chapatis remains hungry. But someone who feels separated from Krishna doesn't remain spiritually hungry any longer. But since Krishna is in his heart, he is together with him. Is it clear, Mukunda Prabhu? This is a very important concept. Therefore, you know, when sometimes devotees say, oh, I feel separated from Krishna, he is so distant, he is so far away from my life, then I always say, feel more separated from Krishna, because then you are together with him. You will just pretend you feel separated from Krishna. Krishna is not in your mind. You are thinking of I, me, and mine. That's why you're miserable. I'm preaching a little bit to you. You might notice this. When you really feel separated from Krishna, you feel very sweet emotions in your heart, because Krishna is now present in your heart through strong thinking of him in the mood of separation. How do we enter the mood of separation? Well, you have to think that I have not attained my Lord, and it's not good. I feel not good. This is not a good state. Prabhupada writes about, talks about this in a morning walk which he gave in 1976 in Honolulu. Lulu. Honolulu. Honolulu. My God, is it a fantastic Lulu. Shouldn't joke about other people's towns. So please be serious. A little humor helps us to digest the heavy parts of the lecture. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says Prabhupada, he is a sannyasi. He has no necessity. Why? He is crying for Govinda. He has given up the whole world, became a sannyasi. Why is he crying for Govinda? That is real necessity. Govinda virahename. Govinda necessity. The necessity is Govinda. And he is never alone. There is again life, again Vrindavan, again the gopis, again dancing, again eating, again everything. That is the real necessity. Wow. Only Prabhupada can say something so beautiful. We are spiritually dead now. No eating, no dancing, no Krishna, nothing. We are dead. Black, out, gone. But when we are back with Krishna, again our real life starts. Now where we are separated, we are spiritually blacked out. And our sad state, we try to forget it by diverting our attention unlimitedly. And the one who does it for us is the diversion machine called the mind, the material mind. It's meant for that, to keep us entertained in the kingdom of the dead. But now the mind, we will have to bring him back. Come, mind, come. Let's live again. Let's build up our life force again. Let's chant and let's be with Krishna. There is again life, again Vrindavan, again the gopis, again dancing. Again, eating. Note, eating. We don't eat anything spiritually. Well, we eat. We eat prasadam. We are this. At least that is taken care. Again, eating. Again, everything. 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 Life means everything, no? That is the real necessity. Hare Krishna, it's really wonderful, really wonderful. Do we have folio here, Madam? You have? Maybe you can find this lecture for me. It's a morning walk, May 28th, 1976. Now the difficult town, Honolulu. Honu, H-O-N-U, Lulu. Hare Krishna. It's clearly a different language. Yes. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a wonderful example of the mood of separation. And I want to read this with you. It's for you. It's an analogy where he compares his mind to a wandering yogi. You know, there are different types of yogis, and one yogi, type of yogi. I forgot his name. He starts with K. They usually have one earring, and then they are constantly on the walk because they live by begging. So these yogis go to the houses of grihasthas, and then they beg, and they are not allowed to take much from one grihastha. They go to different grihasthas, and then they get their bowl full of eatables, and then they will sit down and eat. The next morning or the next day, they will continue on and walk. So the mind, which is in search for Krishna, is compared by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with such a yogi. And it's very interesting how he describes his mind, which is in search for Krishna, his mind, which is in the mood of separation. It's a wonderful piece of poesy. It comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, in the 14th chapter, text 43. It's a very beautiful, and I want to read this to you. I will not read it to you in the the text itself, because sometimes the text is a little philosophical, and we might feel, oh, can we just hear precisely what it is that, what I want to say is, sometimes our the books, you know, it's a prosaic translation. It's not in verses. So I've taken it a little bit out of the translation, the elements. First of all, this yogi is dressed. The mind is dressed. Later. The mind is dressed with a quilt of anxiety. I must meet Krishna. This is now the mood of separation. As different elements, and Mahaprabhu brings it out. I must meet Krishna. I'm becoming a little anxious. I can't remain eternally on the neophyte platform. It kills me. It's not good. I must meet Krishna. Some little anxiety must be there. Prabhupada was once asked, it was also in a morning walk in Hawaii, how do we become Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada said, by your anxiety. By your anxiety. You must be a little anxious. Anxiety is a word for eagerness. You know. When eagerness is a little bit in your mind, then you will want something. When the eagerness becomes a little bit more, then you will sincerely and eagerly desire. When the eagerness becomes still more, then it is anxiety. It's the same thing. Eagerness, you know the price to enter Krishna consciousness in different temperatures. Like water, when you make your tea, you know, well, cool water I can't use, I must have hot water. So you will constantly apply more heat until the water is boiling. So the desire to meet Krishna in the beginning is a little bit cool. Then as you increase the intensity, it becomes finally an anxiety. But this anxiety is not this like this stress anxiety, which people in New York have written all over their faces, you know. How will I get the money? You know, how will I get the best parts of New York entertainment, which it has available for its residents, you know. Not that anxiety for me and mine. It's a different anxiety. It's Krishna.
Krishna necessity. This is maybe the best word. Or anxiety to meet Krishna. No, this is an intense form of desire, an intense form of eagerness, and it builds up your capital, your spiritual capital, because the only price for Krishna consciousness is precisely this, this intense eagerness to have it. So, the yogi of the mind is therefore dressed in a quilt. Do you know what is a quilt? A blanket of anxiety. His only words are, Alas, Krishna. Is what he says. Alas. In Yugoslavian language you say, Oh, vaya. In German you say, Oh, wee. You know, and in English you say, Alas, Krishna. It's a, what? Alas, alas, yes. Yeah, not alas, yes. Alas, alas. Thank you. Say it again, please. Alas, yes, alas. But that's the Texas accent, I think. Chicago. They always make every A into an E, you know. L.A.S. So the Krishna, it means some feeling is there. Some feeling. We say it like this in modern German. We go now. We don't say "owe" any longer. We just say "oh." We say it like this. So the yogi has a turban. The turban of greed. Where can I find Krishna? Where can I find Krishna? I'm doing everything to get him. He wears bangles of distress. He does bangles. He feels, no, I'm distressed. I have not found Krishna yet. And listen to this. He's an educated yogi. He always studies poetry and descriptions of Lord Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. He wants to hear about Krishna, this yogi of my mind. Long ago, the yogi of my mind left the comfortable treasure of material enjoyment in the home of my body. The yogi has gone. He's no longer a sense gratifier in the, on the bodily consciousness. And he has taken with him his 10 disciples, the senses. 10, you know, gross senses. And then subtle senses. Now the yogi has taken all of his disciples and goes begging for the remnants of Krishna's qualities. He says, where do I find Krishna's qualities like his mercy? Where do I find Krishna's beauty, his sweetness, the soft aroma of Krishna's body? When can I smell it? Where can I hear the flute sound? And where can I experience the touch of his body? The yogi of my mind makes contact especially with the gopis, because it's the gopis who always relish Krishna's qualities, beauty, sweetness, aroma, flute sound, and touch of his body. So he begs remnants from the gopis at the house, please, 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 something of Krishna, please. The mystic yogi of my mind went to the garden where Krishna enjoyed pastimes. What is that garden? Vrindavan. There he sat down in a mystic trance in a corner and lost his vision. This is poesy, my dear devotees. Absent-minded, the yogi has left the house of enjoyment. You know, you might have noticed that when we were yesterday in the big house, that was built for one family. They had one room for breakfast, one room for smoking. Let's smoke. Okay, where do we go? And then our smoking room. You know, one room for billiard playing. And did you notice the kitchen? My God, it was such a huge kitchen. One little tiny family. And did you notice they needed an army of servants. 25 servants were up. This is the palace of sense gratification. Leave it behind. It's not required to have a smoking room with the skin of an ostrich, with 100 ostriches. I mean, how many ostriches they must have killed for that smoking room. It is not necessary, Jairati, to have such a mansion or palace for sense gratification. Become simple, not like the fools from the neighboring house. Some preaching is required. This is what we hear in Chaitanya Bhakti. It's different than the materialistic attempt to enjoy. Yes, Mr. Elkins was a charitable man. He had very good qualities also. Yes, he was a religious man. That we can see, and we are definitely grateful for him. But if he would have chanted in the mood of separation, he would not have been so frustrated. Well, in America, we might have to use an attached bathroom because it's so cool and so on. No? My dear devotees, these material habits which we all have make us mentally obese. I heard Philadelphia is the town of the obese people. They are most statistically most number of obese people. You know this. No, we should really not laugh. This is would be laughing in the mode of ignorance when we laugh about the misery of someone else. This is terrible. Yes. They died on the Titanic. Son of Mr. Elkins and his wife had an unfortunate ending. It means this is an ending of bad karma, really. Maybe they did something which was not so good. We wish them well. We use their facility. We wish them very well. Let us be kind. We are using their facilities. Amazing facility. First class. You know, we must be grateful. Yes. And let us not laugh. Obesity must be terrible. You know, it's really the. I believe it's an. It is an illness which starts somewhere in the mind at some stage. You know, then. Gets physical. It must be terrible to have that to somehow come into that, and we should not laugh. We really, that is not good. We must really offer good help, good mood for these poor people. But the real problem is really where the disease originates. It's the mind. More, because you just can't be satisfied in the material life. It just doesn't work. And many of us are mentally obese. We look in shape thanks to the fitness studio and yoga and so on, but mentally we are obese. It's a sad thing. We should not laugh about this. It's terrible. It's a problem. So, yes, necessity. We don't need these things. Let's learn from the yogi of the mind. You know, let's see him in our mind's eye as he is dressed in his quilt, where he wishes Krishna, where he has his turban of intense eagerness and greed, where he wears the bangles of distress. This is good distress. Krishna. We should follow the yogi of the mind as he studies poetry and descriptions of Lord Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. The yogi of the mind has left the palace of sense gratification. He is no longer available there. He has gone with his 10 senses and begs at the house of the great devotees. Give me Krishna. Please, Krishna and his qualities, beauty, sweetness, aroma. We should follow him as he knocks at the doors of the great devotees, asking them, you have Krishna, you can give me Krishna. Please give me Krishna. I will end now. Soon I want to make a very useful meditation with you. The question is always, where can we get Krishna? Where can we get the Lord of our life? And we are directed by Bhaktivinod Thakur to the association of devotees. From where do we get eagerness? How can we make our mind our friend? Well, how can we get devotional service of Krishna Bhakti in the mind? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami answers this question. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Haya Sadhu Sangha Krishna Prema Janme Tenho Puna Mukhya Anga. He says, Mukhya Anga, the most essential part of devotional service, which is the root cause of devotional service to Krishna, is association with advanced devotees. Even when one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees is still most essential. Not just essential, most essential for this. Mukhya means primary, and Anga means limb of our devotional advancement, is the association of devotees. A reference for this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 22, text 83. Madhya 22, 83. So, of all the devotees, we want to have association with a first class devotee who in our lives will become our spiritual teacher, either
diksha or a shiksha relationship we aspire. And for both we have to qualify. Mm-hmm. So that we do get this from him. It's just like I wish to have a book on the Bhakti Rasayana, and I have approached Manu. Now I have said, Manu, you are computer expert. I don't even know how to switch it on. Please, please download this book for me. So this is how you go to a devotee. Please download Krishna consciousness for me. Please bring it to me. I must have it. And so on. I want to now introduce you to a practice where you can chant in the association of the guru. This is another secret of Japa level 3. Would you like to know that? Kanamrita? Yes? Yes. First of all, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point that one shuddha bhakta anugati kirtan hoile sekan jaya. He says one should not attend any kirtan unless it is performed under the auspicious guidance of a pure devotee. In kirtan there should be a great devotee present, because through him it is downloaded, the Krishna bhakti. Just like if I want my book, Bhakti Rasayana, I must go to a great computer expert, Manu, and he will do something on the computer, and then the book will be available, hopefully. Is it coming? Or is it? It is coming. It is coming. It is possible. So we must do kirtan with spiritually advanced devotees, otherwise it will not come. Therefore, we hear this milk, we should be careful from whom we hear, or should not go to every kirtan leader. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent doesn't cause milky effects, but poisonous effects. There is the milk, but in addition, there's also some other element there. So, if you want to chant, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, chant japa in the association of your guru. And this is now something new for us. He says like this. One who devotes himself to the guru... No, wait a minute. Louder? Okay. Before worshipping Krishna, one must first worship the Guru, because he can connect us with the Bhakti Shakti. Only when one is under the protection of this Bhakti Shakti is it possible to have Bhakti and offer Bhakti. You must have that spiritual energy. That's why sometimes when we chant and we don't have this energy, we feel so dry. Isn't it, Jairada? We feel dryness. I feel very much this problem. You're raising your hand to ask a question, Manu, or you're just stretching? Or? Yes, yes, Mangal Aarti, yes, we connect in Mangal Aarti and Guru Puja. In traditional discipleship, you would go every morning to the Guru, touch his feet, and then pray to be empowered for the day. You know, you would live in the Guru Kul, and you would get the blessings to do your devotional day. This is how you would raise... you would be raised in the Guru Kul. You would collect blessings. And we do this, Prabhupada. This is actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has introduced this sadhana. They do every day, you do this Guru Puja, in the morning and so on. So now,
One who devotes himself to the Guru in this consciousness frees himself from the material predicament on the strength of this devotion. When you are devoted to a devotee, you know, you will download from him this devotion. I speak now in modern terms because most of you are modern. One should worship, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Krishna with the Guru's permission and should chant the Lord's name while remembering the Guru. One whose faith in his Guru is unshakable will reach the goal of Krishna Prema on the strength of chanting the pure name. You know, he downloads something which he himself doesn't have. The pure. No, we are now in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Harinam Chintamani chapter 6, and I have been reading from text 33 onwards. See, the idea is, where do I get this bhakti to chant? Or we are talking about the mood of separation. The question is, where do I get it from? Right? That's the idea. We have to get it. The root cause, says Krishna Das Kaviraj and Chaitanya Charitamrita, for bhakti is the association of advanced devotees. No, we are going now to our guru. And now I will get a little bit spiritually, now you need to go one step higher. A little bit intense concentration is required now. The guru-disciple relationship, Mother Indrani, is eternal. It's a permanent one. The guru-disciple relationship is a permanent one if both maintain their purity and sincerity. Their eternal relationship is never broken. This, I think, is very important for us Prabhupada disciples and for Mother Indrani, who is a disciple of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Right? It cannot be broken. It is permanent. It is not gone when one of the other goes. As long as they both maintain their purity and sincerity. No. However, if the spiritual master becomes contaminated, the disciple should immediately reject him. Similarly, the spiritual master should reject that disciple who is insincere and fallen. If either of them fail to do so, they will fall down. No, this is not only should we reject a contaminated guru, but we should. But if you are in the role of a teacher, I'm now saying teacher. Many of us are acting as teachers. If you maintain connections to a person who is very fallen and insincere, your spiritual life will be compromised. It's a subtle energy bond which is there. I'm reading from the translations of Harinam Chintamani. I think you look in it. It's this, what we, this is a summary of the book, and some subtle points have not been taken sufficiently care in the summary translation of the Harinam Chintamani. So, now I would like to do something which is important for all of us. I would like to guide you in a meditation on Srila Prabhupada. Because he is, for all of us, our permanent guru, our eternal guru. And this meditation can be done when you chant so that you get from him the, how do you say, the the Bhakti Shakti. It's a meditation from Harinam Chintamani. I don't know, maybe I should introduce it, because time is also there. Maybe I should just introduce it today, and then in the next workshop, we make a real meditation out of it, so that you have an experience of it. Because if we want to do a good job, we have to prepare your mind first. We can't, you know, speed you up in 5 minutes for meditation. You must be in the right space. Is that a good? I will tell you what to do. No. When, the day after tomorrow. Here, when we are here, we shouldn't wait for this. This is so sublime. We should not wait for it. No? There is a workshop. There's something which I do, and I can put this. For now, I just want to speak about it to you, and those who are now going on the Japa, on the Japa marathon, on the 64 rounds day, you can do it sometimes. You can think about it. You can prepare yourself, because then some excellent feeling will enter your heart. Okay? Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following meditation on the Guru. One worships the spiritual master, he says, by making offerings of a seat. You know, he has to sit down first. Water for washing his feet. He has come from a long way, so let us give him a refreshing foot wash water. Then, water to drink. Don't we know this? When you have a guest, at least a seat has to be offered. And water for drinking. A bath and clothes and ornaments. Some clothes. Isn't it when someone has come from a long way, you may take a bath. And here we have prepared this wonderful, fragrant cloth for you. We have put it in lavender. We have put some lavender herbs in it. And now it's very fragrant, very, very, you will feel very nice in this clean, no, a clean cloth. No need of your worn cloth. We are taking care of you. You are our guest here. We have good cloths for you. Yeah. And some ornaments. Maybe some pavitra. You know, some good ornament. You know. Tilak is the best ornament. You can put some tilak there so that tilak is available. Some good Vaishnava ornament. What Vaishnavas we are. I will do my best. I'm really loud now. Then, with the spiritual master's permission, one may begin worshipping the holy couple. With the spiritual master's permission, one may begin worshipping. My dear devotees, I will end with saying, I have read this a few years ago and started to make it a regular practice, because very often, because of an intense preaching schedule, the mind is really busy and active and planning the next stretch. You can't believe what amount of planning it takes to do a tour of 2.5 months where you have to give every morning and evening a new lecture. You have to really plan this. You have to, okay, what do I need for this? What do I need for this? What references? What materials? Oh, yes, and 2.5, that's a long, who needs to be called? What arrangements need to be done? Every day for 2 events, you have to plan 2 events. It's really like a lot of mental work. Then you are supposed to sit down and chant rounds, and you're mentally exhausted. But what, since I know about this, I just breathe out, in, and then I go to Prabhupada in my mind and chant with, and then I greet Prabhupada, offer a seat, a glass of water, first some water to wash his feet and hands. I add the hands, then I give him. And then I do all this. I go through the motions. What was it? Welcome him, offer him a seat, offer him water to wash his feet, offer him a bath, Mother Ganga, and then offer him nice fresh clothing and ornaments, a garland. A lotus flower garland, you know, but a light garland, not the heavy one, so that his head is not inconvenienced. And then asked him for permission to chant. And then it goes, Rukmini. Because I always notice when I'm in front of Prabhupada, I'm extremely chastened. I really want to do everything right. And that's important for me because I'm a little bit over creative sometimes with the mind. Yes.
My question is this done as a silent meditation or is it done while chanting?
Silent meditation. The mind is so fast. It takes 10 seconds, you know, when you are practiced in it. But as you're starting this, it may take 45 seconds. You know, he comes, sit down, and there's a different time in the mind. It goes differently. That's why you, when you're with a real good friend, you think, what? 6 hours we are sitting already? You know, have you noticed sometimes? Yeah. Time is different in the mind. Yes. Yes. Well, when you will now chant together. So after Mahamaya, you make a very good point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I wanted to keep that for the workshop. After it, you offer him the remnants from Radha and Krishna. But chanting is best done before prasadam. After prasadam, one is a little heavy in the mind, in the belly. You know, very scientific, very personal. We are very personal in our tradition. Yes, Mukunda Prabhu.
So we chant together, the guru.
Yes, in his association, you chant because you wish that the pure holy name comes also to you. Sangha. Chanting in the Sangha of the Guru. We always hear we should chant in the association of devotees. Why do we hear this? Is it just the way we hang out with each other? No, it is support. Support comes when devotees. So the best, the greatest devotee is a pure devotee and we chant in his association. That's the idea. Yes, Rukmini. Relieving. Yes. Well, Then we would talk about you are very advanced. You can do that. What I want to say, well, when we do that, I'm following Bhaktivinoda Thakur's concept of chanting in the association of the guru. I'm not dealing with other concepts of, being helpful to the guru in his Krishna consciousness by relieving his feelings of separation. But that's an important point. I mean, but one cannot talk about everything in detail. So it's not on the list, so to say. But yes. But if you wish, we can talk about it maybe in the question and answer session. Good. I saw other devotees were heads up. Yes, Advay. Mm-hmm. When we do this, when we do the practice the day after tomorrow, I will introduce that chanting alongside with Prabhupada. We will do it actually, and we'll say something about it. So here I will just briefly say, it is good to sometimes do that. But you shouldn't have it on so loud that you don't hear your own japa. Japa is after all a practice which we can't change. The tradition has given us this practice, and Prabhupada wouldn't be happy if we now create a new form of japa, which would be really make us a cult. You know, we take off on it. On something and create a new sadhana. No, japa means to repeat the syllables of a mantra again and again, and we do it in the whispering, in a certain mood where we can hear it, you know. That's the idea of japa, that we have to always do. I was in temples sometimes where it was so loud and you couldn't, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you couldn't hear your own mind. It was so loud. Yeah. That is certainly a new invention. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Seems like it's very important to have an attachment for someone or something. Because if you're not attached to something, there'll be no feeling of separation.
Yeah. That's why you need to really read about Krishna from the Bhagavatam. You need to have an attachment to him. That attachment comes from hearing. It's called the Purvaraga. The beginnings of an attachment comes from hearing. I remember this was how I was born in this life. My father heard from someone else about my mother. My father actually wanted to marry another woman who was not so qualified, and this other woman said, I'm not the right one for you, but my friend is most qualified. And then she said, and that woman my father wanted to marry in the first place said, I have already someone, but my girlfriend is most qualified. And then she spoke many times to my father about my mother. And my mother is objectively more qualified this other woman. And my father still hadn't met my mother, because these were the old times and the old German society is not so easy to mingle freely. That's not done. So he was in the war, and then he wrote to his to this other woman he wanted to marry. Can you please describe more of her qualities to me? And then she wrote a long letter listing the good qualities of my mother, and many letters he came, and he read this letter. Finally, he became attached, and then he wrote the first letter to my mother. I'm now fighting the war in Russia, but when I come home, is there a chance that we meet? And then they met, and then they became supremely attached, and then I was born. Eventually, listen to this. In old times, no physical contact. 10 years, yeah, just being together, no physical contact. Then after 10 years, they wanted to make a family, and then I was born. Not a... Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. No, I'm useless. So attachment comes by hearing. This is the point of this illustration. Attachment comes by hearing. It's very important. No. Without attachment, there's no separation. If you, Hare Krishna. So I want to end here and ask Achana Siddhi to now give us some words of guidance for the day, how to do everything, and so on, and maybe some words of inspiration. Hare Krishna.